Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
7:07 this Friday in the nation's capital, 13th as well, Friday the 13th for all who observe.
Spooky.
This very important holiday coming up later in the program as we launch you into your weekend. We're going to speak at 8:05 first with Michael Johnson. He's an astrophysicist out of Harvard. Talk about this extraordinary development where we now have a first image of the black hole in the heart of the Milky Way. And then at 8:35, Andy Puzder. He's out of Heritage, formerly of CKE Restaurants. Talk about the economy, inflation, baby formula, all that jazz. You just heard her voice. She's Patrice Onwuka on this gorgeous Friday. It's actually not gorgeous. It's rainy and gloomy. But every Friday with you, Patrice, is gorgeous.
Well, thank you, Larry. I try to bring some sunshine with me.
I would love to hear from all the moms and dads out there who, after the pandemic, after the changes of curriculum, after the changes of transgender policies at our schools, even all the way down to kindergarten and pre-K, the insidious developments and changes and, in my opinion, negative, destructive forces on our government-run schools. If for one reason or another, through all of that, you have made the choice to homeschool your children, I would love to hear from you right now to explain yourself. To explain why you made that choice, what motivated it, and how it's going for you now as we pretty much finish up this first year. So there's a lot of people who this was their first year of homeschooling, Patrice.
Yes.
And we're now finishing it up, and we'd love to hear your reaction to it and sort of reemphasize why you made this choice. Because if one just reads the editorial opinions put forth on MSNBC.com, the website that supports the vitriolic cable network, you would think that the only reason you're doing this is because you are, say it with me, racist. That's right. MSNBC highlights a column by Anthea Butler that says it may seem harmless, but the insidious racism of the American religious right's obsession with homeschooling speaks volumes. Really? Is this a manifestation of the religious right's obsession and insidious racism? Or are you really just making good choices for your child's future and their education that they're not really getting in the government-run schools? You tell me. 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. WMAL. There's nothing more personal than this choice that a parent makes, Patrice, about their children and their children's upbringing. And it's not an easy one at all. I made the choice to homeschool my kids until we couldn't anymore, until it didn't make sense for us and for our kids. But we every year reevaluated it and we decided, okay, does this make sense for us this year? We still do homeschool our youngest. He's on the autism spectrum. When you have a special needs child, that decision is even more personal and important. But to just write this off as insidious racism is frankly ignorant and certainly insulting. And if the Democrats' message going into November is if you homeschool your kids, that means you're a racist, I mean, have at it. But I don't think it's going to go very far.
Especially with black people and black families who they think they, I mean, they've been losing black support. And so this is not the way to win it back. When we look at one of the fastest growing groups of homeschoolers, homeschooling families, you will find that their skin color looks a lot more like mine than maybe necessarily yours, Larry.
There you go. Yeah.
It's so fascinating. I mean, Time Magazine, you know, reported on the Census Bureau's data that from the start of the pandemic in, let's say, spring of 2020, there are about 3.3% of black families who are homeschooling their kids. Hmm. By that fall, it had risen to 16%.
Wow.
And that's 2020.
That's 16%. Extraordinary.
So, I mean, I'd have to look and see what the new data is, if it's out for 2021 and into 2022. But you're talking about a 13% percentage point jump in just a matter of months among black parents. Mm. And now some of the commentary, this MSNBC show obviously wasn't doing their homework. Some of the commentary has been that black parents are actually trying to escape the racist teaching of history in public schools by taking over the history lesson lessons themselves to teach about Black history. Hey, whatever the reason you have for taking your kids out of public school, if that's the best option and you think that's the best way for your kids to learn, have at it. But for the MSNBC folks, they are on another planet to talk about. We've been talking about the space today. They're way out there, and they are missing the boat, which is, number one, public schools are failing a lot of kids, particularly minority kids. And number two, parents are fed up, and they are going and they're taking education by the bullhorns and teaching their own kids at home.
Well, well said, Patrice. But I just, and then those numbers are stunning with regard to parents of color making this choice. And by the way, we'd love to, if you are a person of color, African-American, if you're Latino, if you're Asian-American, by the way, Asian-Americans have got to be really fed up with what the government schools are doing. And if you've chosen to homeschool, I'd love to hear from you at 888-630-WMA. I just want to be clear on this, though, because, listen, MSNBC has told me that homeschooling is racist. So even if Black parents are doing it, those have
they
to
must be,
be
racist.
They've got to be racist. Black people, exactly. So my question is, are they sort of like the Louis Farrakhan anti-white racist, or are they self-loathing anti-Black racists? Have you figured that out?
What I figured out is that MSNBC, there's a reason why their ratings are as low as they are, and it's because they are clueless
in their
analysis and clueless in their commentary.
Well, and let's just be clear, their commentary generally mirrors the mainstream of the Democratic Party, at least the politicians and the people in this town, not necessarily Democrat voters. Let's start with Allison in Great Falls. Allison, there's got to be another reason other than your racism that you chose to homeschool.
I would certainly hope so. I think there's a few things that have come up this last year, right? Or last 2 years. There's been an introduction of some doubt. Parents have been observing classes that were done online at home and starting to question a little bit. And then obviously there's been a lot of things revealed that are being taught in schools that parents are a little uncomfortable. And so now they're just unsure. So maybe there's not even evidence of something being taught in the classroom, but there's concern about what might be being taught, right? Yeah. But we've also have other family members who've chosen to homeschool because their kids have fallen so far behind due to the pandemic and not being academically challenged appropriately. Others who pulled their kids out of school because the conversations over anorexia and things like that in fifth grade, that the kids were just being exposed to things that they didn't need to. So I think there's a number of reasons. And, you know, I certainly hope they're all with good intent and that people find great curriculum and that they have success with it.
Yeah, amen.
It's great.
Allison, can I ask a quick follow-up? Because I get this. Did you choose to homeschool because of what you learned through the Zoom classrooms of your kids during the pandemic, or had you been homeschooling before that?
Well, so we are not homeschooling our kids at this time. They get a lot of extra services through the school.
Okay.
But if we could afford it, we would.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. Thank you. Well, yeah, and that, frankly, that even speaks volumes that you are such an obvious advocate of the choice to homeschool, and you're not doing it yourself yet for your own personal reasons. Allison, thank you for the call. We're hearing a lot about choice right now from Democrats and from MSNBC.
But it has nothing to do with educational choice, employment choice, any other religious choice.
No, it has nothing to do with a choice for your children if they happen to be born. It's only just the choice.
Yes, the most fundamental choice, right?
For the case. All right. In a moment, we have another good example that has nothing to do with race as to why parents might choose to homeschool. It comes from our friends at Libs of TikTok, a story out of British Columbia. You won't believe what they're teaching kindergartens. Well, sadly, at this point, you will believe it. But if it's a harbinger of things to come here in the States, you'll want to look into homeschooling immediately. We'll tell you about that in a moment. But first, it's 7:15.
Heard the news. Now get the facts. It's the Vince Colonnais Show, weekdays 3 to 6, right here on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
And we will touch base with you and your reasons for homeschooling that have nothing to do with racism, believe it or not, MSNBC. At 888-630-9625, why did you choose to homeschool? We'll get to you in a moment, but I do want to highlight this story. I mean, if you needed another excuse, kindergartners in British Columbia, according to Libs of TikTok, and they have the paperwork to prove it, they're getting a lesson that, it's, again, unbelievable but true. They're getting a lesson that centers around masturbation. at 5 years old for kindergartners. Did you saw this? You actually raised it this morning. What is this worksheet? This is a take-home worksheet that these kids were supposed to have?
It's called Body Smart Right From The Start. And it tells in essence, it asks little kids to draw a picture of the private places where they can touch their personal body parts, private parts, if you want to. And there's a box where you can draw it. So the idea is that parents are supposed to take their little kids and have them draw a picture of, you know, whether it's their bedroom or the closet or the hallway, where are those places that they fondle themselves? This is so patently inappropriate. This is exactly what everyone tells us is not going on, which is the grooming of our little babies for the sexual fetishes and pleasures of adults.
If an adult approached your 5-year-old at a park and had this conversation with them, they'd be guilty of a felony. Some reason, somebody with a teacher's credential who calls themselves a kindergarten teacher is allowed to do it, and it's supposed to be celebrated. By the way, parents were not notified of this lesson, according to the parent who blew the whistle on this. I mean,
yeah, the parents didn't know about this. Apparently, the school officials didn't know about this. So when the parents raised the alarm, the school said, oh, we didn't know that this specific teacher was actually giving this material. This is them doing their own thing. So, hey, if the teacher is going rogue, you have to address the teacher, obviously. But why doesn't the school know what the teacher is teaching? And I kind of don't believe that. I kind of think that they're just trying to throw this teacher under the bus, who deserves to be thrown under the bus if they're grooming 5-year-olds. And by the way, if my child comes home with something like this, I am...
There will be hell to pay.
And I don't get upset, Larry. I'm a very sunny person, but I'm a mama bear. And I think there are a lot of mama bears out there like this.
Amen to that. And by the way, it's important to point out that we all know about this because of Libs of TikTok.
Thank you, Libs of TikTok.
And they are, the Washington Post wants to destroy Libs of TikTok. The Washington Post does not want Libs of TikTok to exist through their reporter, Taylor Lorenz, because they actually shine a light on this insidious destruction going on in kindergarten. Now, again, this is Canada, but you know that there are educators in this country rationalizing this 100%. I don't know. Maybe it's me, but I feel like ever since human beings have been on this planet, at some point in their development, they have figured out the art of self-gratification. We don't need teachers to be teaching this.
And we don't need it at 5 years old.
We certainly don't. All right, let's go to Michelle now in Ashburn. Michelle, we're told that you homeschooling parents are racist. What do you say?
Well, I think they clearly don't know anything about homeschooling because in our area, our homeschooling co-ops, they are incredibly diverse. Mm. You know, I don't know where they are. I don't know if they're out in the middle of, you know, I don't know. But in this area, we are incredibly diverse. Our co-ops, they have people from all walks of life. And the beautiful thing about homeschooling, that one of the things I really love, is that the children play with anybody. They play, you know, whether they're fifth grade, we'll play with the third grader,
yes.
Whether it's boys and girls, they play across and up and down. Wow. It doesn't matter. They aren't sort of in a box. I know in public school, if you were in sixth grade, you would never be seen dead playing with a fifth grader.
But
not homeschoolers.
Wow. Michelle, you took the words out of my mouth. Thank you for the call. One of my favorite aspects of homeschooling was that your kids were not put into these artificial segregated groups based on their age and based on their grade. It's unnatural. In the real world, we don't say, oh, well, you're 2 years younger than me, so I won't sit with you for lunch and I won't, you know, work with you on a project. It's ridiculous. But we force them into those boxes in our government-run schools. Homeschooling, that's not the thing. And it actually creates a much more inclusive, open, and understanding way of growing up.
Absolutely.
Because the government schools literally segregate our kids. More of your calls, more of our commentary, too, on MSNBC saying, if you homeschool, you're racist. It's 7:21. By the way, Patrice, we have two local stories here about why parents are choosing to homeschool. First, out of Montgomery County, Cedar Grove Elementary, elementary school children were compelled to pledge allegiance to the pride flag.
Oh, goodness.
Pledging love, respect, freedom, tolerance, equality, and pride. This has been posted on YouTube. Cedar Grove Elementary PTA seems to be just fine with that, celebrating love and respect and tolerance, pledging to the pride flag. And then in Fairfax High School, they are going to be hosting a program for students this Monday and Tuesday with the Department of Justice that parents will not be invited to. Again, isolating high school kids from their parents and sending the message and normalizing the idea that you can trust your government employees, teachers, but you can't trust your parents.
That's what a predator does. They say, don't tell mom and dad. This is just between you and me.
Yeah. It's 7:30 in the nation's capital.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington, a Cumulus Media station.
Making sense of the news.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL. News now.
Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
7:37, good Friday morning to you. Larry O'Connor here on O'Connor and Company with Patrice Onwuka on this gloriously beautiful Friday. I know it's gloomy and it's rainy and it's gross.
But we are alive and we are breathing freedom today, Larry.
And it's still Friday.
It's beautiful. Yeah,
and Friday. And again, Patrice is here. Need I say more?
Thank you. Oh.
Your pinkness just fills everybody's day with a smile.
I try.
Coming up later in the program at 8:05, Michael Johnson, Astros physicist from Harvard. He has this amazing story where we now have an image, our first image of a black hole at the heart of the Milky Way. 8:35, Andy Puzder will join us to talk about the economy, inflation, and the shortage on baby formula. That's all coming up, but let's keep it in the realm of tech and high finance as the intrigue over Elon Musk's bid for Twitter continues to develop before our eyes. There are going to be movies made about this whole thing that we're witnessing.
I can't wait.
It's going to be...
I hope the Obamas aren't going to executive produce that.
Yeah, I won't be watching the Netflix version of this. Nor Jeff Bezos' version either.
That's a good point.
Trust me. The Twitter deal... Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter is on a temporary hold right now. Now hold on. Nobody go nutso. Mm-hmm. This is a very smart move. Elon Musk has put it on hold, and here's why. You know, when you go through a purchase and takeover and this sort of thing, the company is compelled to have to provide a bunch of information about what exactly the new buyer is buying, right? It's due diligence.
That's right.
The buyer is allowed to say, okay, listen, pending this deal that I have made and it's in good faith, I want to see this bit of information from you so I know exactly what the income potential might or might not be based on your current projections. And I mean, that's typical stuff, right? Well, this whole hold that Elon Musk has put on the deal revolves around how many Twitter accounts are fake.
Wow.
How many Twitter accounts are bots, right? How many are just because, you know, you have to be able to monetize Twitter. You know, Elon Musk has been floating ideas about how he can make money on Twitter and how you can derive income. He's floated a different ideas, but all of it is reliant on reliant on two things. Number one, that people are providing free content to Twitter. This is the beauty of these business models, is that we are all providing this great content for them for free.
Yeah, I've been providing plenty of it this morning.
Right.
And tagging you.
Right, and I appreciate it. But, you know, we put our creative energy into Twitter.
Yes.
And we deliver our, you know, let's face it, you and I are literally paid to deliver our opinions and thoughtful, sometimes witty observations on the world around us. We are paid by our employers to do that, and then we go to Twitter and we give it away for free. Right?
It's true.
And Twitter eventually has to figure out how they can make money off of that free content that we provide them. All right, so that's the first part of how Twitter makes money. Part of the element is that we give them free content. The second part is we have to be real human beings, not just creating the content, but also consuming the content. And if they have a lot of bots and a lot of fake accounts, that are part, like, let's say Twitter says, yes, we have a billion users. Mm-hmm. Well, if 200 million of those billion users are fake, then they don't really have a billion users.
It's an inflated number.
That's right.
And that means that the deal that they've struck with Elon Musk is based on something that's false. I mean, that's just like when you buy a house and you're told the property value is X, Y, and Z, and then you do the actual house appraisal and it comes in much lower than you expected. Then you go back and renegotiate.
That's right. And if you are falsely boosting up the value of the thing that you are selling, well, that's a crime, right? You're basically, it's a shell game. You're lying. Well, Twitter provided information to Elon Musk that he asked for. And in that information about the current users on Twitter, they claimed that spam, fake accounts, and bots only comprise less than 5% of the total users of Twitter. Elon Musk saw that and said, wait a minute. Hold on.
Anybody who has ever been on Twitter would say 5%. Yeah, right. It's a bold-faced lie.
Yes.
So I'm glad he's being strategic and saying, no, I actually want to know the real numbers. Now, don't forget, Larry, for weeks we've been hearing from Mr. Musk that he is interested in authenticating every single user of Twitter, one of the changes he wants to bring to it. And I think that's a fantastic idea. I wrote not too long ago at Newsmax, my column there, that a lot of these leftist activists are going to be exposed because one person is running probably 5 or 6 different accounts to amplify different messages and to cancel people. I would love to see the sheets pulled off the bed and the exposure of a lot of these fake accounts.
Yeah, and
thank
as
you,
you,
Elon Musk.
As usual, when the sheets get pulled off the bed, sometimes you don't like what you see there.
You don't. It scares you.
So we're going to see. He said he's literally saying, yeah, I'm not buying it. With regard to the 5% are fake accounts, let's see what that – because, listen, if that number increases, that actually decreases the actual income potential therefore the value of Twitter. All right, in other Twitter news, Twitter executives fired a couple of high-profile executives for the company. Twitter doesn't fire anybody. Right. In fact, one of the problems with Twitter apparently is they have a bunch of redundancy. Mm. They've got a lot of people who get paid a bunch of money that don't really do anything other than try to censor you and I. Mm. The CEO, Parag Agrawal, has rescinded job offers. They are on a hiring freeze and they've merged a bunch of positions. One of the people who got fired is an executive who was on paternity leave.
Okay.
As well. So that's getting some headlines, too. One other Elon Musk note that I want to share with you, and I will in just a moment, as well as some Netflix news. So, could we love Elon Musk anymore? I'm kidding. I don't deify the guy. I know a lot of people think he's just the savior of the universe. I think he's funny,
he's
intriguing.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's smart. He's a successful dude.
True.
And he designed and built an incredible American-made car that I own, not for reasons of saving the planet, just because I think it's a great car. All right,
looks really cool, Larry.
That
it does.
That being said, he keeps saying stuff that I like, and here's the latest. He has come out against paper straws.
Where's somebody, the hallelujah?
Yes. He said, stop the war on straws. How did it even start? And then he went on to say, and this is actually a very keen observation, the straw war is emblematic of larger social issues. And anyone who knows the origins of the jihad against plastic straws, where a kid, literally a child, saw this thing about sea turtles and plastic straws getting caught in their nose, which no one wants a sea turtle get hurt. But this child, through a child's eyes, decided, well, we've got to end all plastic straws, which, of course, is the irrational approach if you want to help the sea turtles. But then politicians glommed onto it and corporations glommed onto it. And now you got to drink your drink within, 10 minutes of getting your paper straw in there. Otherwise, it all disintegrates before your eyes.
And by the way, China has not stopped polluting our waters with paper straws or with plastic straws and all the other plastic and everything else. Plastic straws were never the greatest pollutant, nor is the United States the greatest pollutant. I wish somebody had told that kid that.
More observations from Elon Musk just in the last 24 hours on Twitter. Here's one about politics. Biden's mistake is that he thinks he was elected to transform the country, but actually everyone just wanted less drama. I think that's probably a fair observation.
Yes.
Of course, we have a lot more drama. There's nothing more dramatic, Patrice, than not being able to feed your baby.
Tell me about it.
Because there's a formula shortage. Yeah. So misguided. He also went on to say, even though I think a less divisive candidate would be better in 2024, I still think Trump should be restored to Twitter. So he's sort of projecting there that he's not backing Trump in 24 and saying that Trump is divisive, but he still, of course, would like to see Trump back on Twitter. So there's that from Elon Musk.
Can I just add in
one
more?
Please.
Don't diss information.
Oh, I like that one. I saw that one. Yeah.
That's a good one. Throw back to the 90s, when you diss somebody, it means you insult them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, our government is dissing information today with their disinformation governance board.
Meanwhile, back in big tech world, as we saw, Twitter right now, management seeing the writing on the wall, reading the room, as it were, starting a hiring freeze, getting rid of redundancy, firing some people.
Mm-hmm.
We might be seeing a change of culture at Netflix. Maybe, maybe. Let's see. But here's the headline out of Variety, which I think says something. Netflix updates corporate culture memo, adding anti-censorship section and a vow to, quote, spend our members' money wisely.
Wow.
Now,
Larry.
This can be interpreted in many different ways.
The fact that they're doing it, the fact that they're updating their corporate culture memo says something. And then number two, the fact that they recognize their members are not just the woke crowd, are not just the beautiful people, but it's the people, the regular hardworking Americans, the conservatives, the Christians, the people who don't buy into woke ideology says something. Thank you, Elon Musk.
I wonder if the backlash against Dave Chappelle and the way that the Netflix employees staged a walkout, but the CEO held firm, I wonder if that sort of was a wake-up call for the CEO. Again, when you're in the business of entertainment, culture, the delivery of information and mass media, you can't abide any level of censorship. Otherwise, it becomes a spiral of doom. And one final note about Netflix. I am fascinated and blown away by this story. We, of course, mourned the passing of Norm MacDonald this year. Nobody knew he was sick.
Mm.
Nobody knew that he was dying.
Yeah.
And out of the blue, there was no more Norm MacDonald.
Mm.
And, of course, Norm MacDonald, he had a YouTube talk show that was hilarious. Netflix picked it up and put it on. And Norm MacDonald was quite politically incorrect. Netflix invested money in Norm MacDonald. He became a Netflix star. He did all of his latest stand-ups were all produced for Netflix.
Wow.
And he was very popular. Really opened himself up to a whole new generation. I grew up with Norm MacDonald on Weekend Update right after Dennis Miller, of course. I loved him. But now a whole bunch of young kids love Norm MacDonald, too, through his subversive work on Netflix. Well, get this. Before Norm MacDonald passed away, not only did he keep his illness a secret, but he also secretly taped a final stand-up special.
Really?
For Netflix.
Wow.
So we have one more comedy special starring Norm MacDonald that will be released post-mortem.
That's beautiful.
I can't wait to see it.
That's beautiful. And it's a testament to someone who's willing to doesn't want to victimize themselves and gain sympathy by, you know, making it all about themselves and their illness, but made it about his job and his craft. It's beautiful.
And by the way, you know that Netflix live comedy show at Hollywood Bowl last week where Dave Chappelle was attacked on stage?
Yes.
Apparently, all the comedians who appeared in that, they did like a roundtable conversation backstage in a studio.
Okay.
They knew about this, and they did a whole tribute to Norm MacDonald and talked about Norm and their relationship with Norm, and that will be part of the special. It's going to be released on May 30th, and it is called Norm MacDonald, Nothing Special.
Hmm.
And I can't wait. It's 7:53.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.